Blog Talk Radio.
Friends all on my wall, just to keep reminding me that every time I tried to fall, he never gave up on finding me. And every time that I couldn't see, he took away what was blinding me. I got friends all on my wall to remind me, Lord, that you set me free. I got a pad and a pen again. I had to sit again and wrote all my sins. Forgive me that I'm so ashamed, and it ain't a small thing that I'm the one to blame.
All right, what's up, y'all? It is Jared with Safety to Success Racing, or excuse me, Safety to Success Safety and Racing Podcast. I had to put safety first before racing. How y'all doing? I know this is last minute getting this shared out. I got my buddy Michael Huseman coming on the show. He is the announcer at Hattiesburg Speedway. Excuse me, not Hattiesburg, Jackson Motor Speedway. I got Hattiesburg on the brain. But Jackson Motor Speedway in Jackson, Mississippi. Michael's going to come on and talk a little bit of Jackson Motor Speedway, plus talk God with me. Because Michael's my brother in Christ. I love having Michael on my Shooting Straight podcast show I do on my ministry page, Coon Hunters Outdoors Ministries. Michael's a great, great guy, man. He's somebody I think the world of. He drove all the way from Jackson, Mississippi to go with me and John to Mobile to the Winter Jam concert, which was super, super awesome, man. And I highly suggest y'all go check out Winter Jam. Like, it's 10 Christian bands and a guest speaker and a whole lot of other stuff for 10, 15 bucks. And then if you buy the Jam Pass, which is what we got, you get to meet the artist and get the VIP experience, get a lanyard and a t-shirt. Well worth it. But anyways, so this is season 2, episode 1. I got to thank my friend Jason McMillan with the 110 Nation Sports. Appreciate Jason for what he does, giving me this podcast platform. I love Blog Talk Radio. I hated the Blog Talk Radio mess up last week because, man, I had some fire guests, man. I had Donald Parker at Hattiesburg Speedway going to be on, and I had Brian Littleton with the Race Logic Chassis School going to be on, then Michael, and Brian can't make it tonight. It's understandable. He's driving, working, so shout out to Brian with Race Logic Chassis School, one of the nicest guys I've met quite a long time in dirt racing. Just talking on the phone, I can tell he's one of the nicest guys. I hadn't personally met him yet, but I will, and so shout out to Race Logic Chassis School. Y'all go check out Race Logic Chassis School on Facebook. They also have a group. You type in Race Logic Chassis School, and you should be able to find the group. And also, check out their website at racelogicchassisschool.net, I believe it. You can be able to Google search it, but it's not .net. But shout out Donald Parker at Hattiesburg Speedway. I didn't get to get up with him today. But if he gets up with me, then he's welcome to come on at the end of the show if he's not busy. But sadly, Hattiesburg Speedway had to cancel the races because of the rain they got today. It sucks, man. Hattiesburg Speedway has been rained out several races this year. Shout out to Donald Parker and Ernie Parker, the flag man, and Donald's the owner of the track. And also, shout out to my awesome friend, Ron Southern, man. Ron Southern, he's somebody just like Michael that I think highly of. Ron's in my small friend circle. And, like, when I say small circle, I mean, I got a lot of friends, you know, a decent amount of friends. But, like, as far as ones that I can trust and depend on that's, like, there, my showing up friends, well, Ron's in that group with Michael. And I got to give a shout-out to Ron because, man, Ron, so for those that don't know, I'm the announcer at Tri-County Speedway in Pollard. And I'm a full-time announcer, which is great. And so Ron came and heard me announce a few weeks ago, and he got to meet my mom and dad for the first time. Shout out to my mom and dad for coming on the show. I mean, not coming on the show, but coming to listen to me announce. And it was great, man. We had a great night. And Ron, enjoyed Hattiesburg. I mean, enjoyed Tri-County. It was a great night of racing. And he came to Tri-County last year and got to hear me announce at the Big Legacy Dirt Track Championship race. So that was great. And shout out to all my friends that got to come to the race, that race. Eddie Knight, I think, was there. Of course, Mr. Ike and Jamie were there. They were racing and whatnot. And his cousin was there. And I don't know if Jacob was with us that night or not. But anyways, had a fun night, the Legacy Dirt Track Championship. And then we went back the next day for the breakfast. They had the pre-breakfast at the racetrack, and then they had the church service, which was awesome. And shout out to Isaiah Day for leading the church service, man. They did a great job of that church service. And shout out to Isaiah and Miss Marilyn Day for reaching out to me about being the announcer at Tri-County Speedway. So Miss Marilyn's husband, Chuck, which is Isaiah's dad, he owns the racetrack, and they all work for the racetrack. And Isaiah drives the 99602 late model, and then his brother, Joshua, drives the Iron Horse late model up there. And the 95 car, and Isaiah's got the 99. So shout out to them for asking me to be the announcer, man. What an awesome job, man. Like, it's so cool, man. Like, I'm already going to go there, and now I get paid to go there, which is great. So thankful for that. Thankful for God blessing me with this opportunity to be the announcer, because the Day family, they put God first in everything they do, just like I do. So, and I love being able to announce God, and, you know, and now they got me a phone adapter set up. I can play me some Christian music over the radio at the track, which is cool. A lot of people go to the racetrack. Cool to tell people about Jesus, you know. And we also put God first with Race Safe and Fuel Arrester, and we put God first in the podcast. So thankful to Robbie. My awesome friend Robbie Johns, who I thank the world of. Robbie's another one of my friends in that small circle that I thank the world of. And, like, if it wasn't for Robbie, I wouldn't have this podcast, because it's presented by, put on the Race Safer Fuel Arrester, which is the number one, in my opinion, the number one fuel safety device in racing. Nobody's got a fuel safety device like we got. Robbie's got the patent on it. And, you know, because one thing we're going to do with this podcast and Race Safety Fuel Arrester is we're putting God first in what we do, y'all. And God's our safety net. And so I love Fuel Arrester, man. Like, maybe one day, if it's God's will, I'm selling a Fuel Arrester full-time as a job. That's the dream job, you know, that and working at Tri-County. That's the dream job. Maybe it'll happen one day if it's the Lord's will. I don't know. I'm going to keep praying for that. I'm going to pray whatever God has for me next as the main thing first. And I just love the Fuel Arrester, man, because I love safety. Call me the safety Nazi, whatever you want to call me. But I don't care if people get mad at me. I'm going to preach safety. And I know there's people that joke about safety. They joke about everything safety-wise. I mean, I know there's people out there that don't. They don't, just safety is the farthest thing in their mind. And so, you know, I don't know why people don't, I just don't know why people don't take safety serious, man. It drives me crazy to hear the stuff that I hear from drivers when I'm promoting the Fuel Arrester and promoting just safety in general, like the excuses and this and that that I hear. And I'm like, man, these are the people that's going to get hurt, the ones that try to argue against something safety-wise that would help save their life. That's the ones that don't take it serious and they get hurt. And one thing I like about this, about the Fuel Arrester that Robbie invented, so Robbie invented this many, many moons ago, about 25 years ago, I think he invented it. And the cool thing about the Fuel Arrester is it's like a diaper or a vest. And it fits around the fuel cell of your race car. And if your fuel cell gets ruptured or damaged in any way, what this will do is this will soak up your race fuel. Now, granted, it's not going to soak up 100% of your race fuel. It's not designed to do that. And it's like our good friend Kyle Jennings. So shout out to Kyle Jinks for Front Wheel Drive Fridays. Kyle Jinks bought one for his car, and he's getting our logo put on his wrap. So Kyle, we appreciate Kyle being on board for Team Race Safe Fuel Arrester. Kyle's a good dude, man. I've been following him for quite a while. And for those who don't know Kyle, he races the NCDRA Front Wheel Drive class, which is Sport Compact Racing Development Association. He races them in North Carolina at different tracks. And he runs Front Wheel Drive Fridays, where he promotes Front Wheel Drive racing on his page. And he does a live show every Friday, I do believe, during race season. And Kyle has this thing where he talks about safety, and his thing is check your safety. And you know what? He's right. So hashtag check your safety. I'm going to start using that hashtag. I've been using it a lot here lately because of Kyle using it. So hashtag check your safety. Check everything on your car. Because look, Kyle got in a wreck last year. You can read the article on Outside the Groove magazine. They did an article on the website of Kyle Jinks of his wreck last year he had. So he had a Nissan. I think he called it the Nasty Nissan. Maybe wrong on the nickname, but it was a Nissan front-wheel drive car. And he was racing. You can see it on the in-car camera of one of the cars. But he's racing, and it kind of like he was dicing in and out with some cars, and then all of a sudden you see this car, and the car clips him, and you have to correct me on this. I'll have to go back and read the article, and Kyle may have to correct me on this, but I believe he barrel rolled the car 18 times. He counted 18 rotations. Is it 18, 19, 20 rotations, somewhere in there, some astronomical number. But you can see his car tumbling down the racetrack, bow, 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 just rolling. And it was like he was shot out of a cannon. But driver just clicked him, just a crazy driver error, and it caused him to wreck, and it destroyed his race car. But luckily he had that money well wasted chassis, or the roll cage on it. I believe that's what kind of roll cage it is. I may be wrong on that. But anyways, he had a stout roll cage, one of the best you can buy. He had all the other kind of safety and destroyed his car, bent the roll cage in just a little bit, slightly bent it. And it's, put it this way, it's a miracle from God. It's a blessing from God that Kyle is still here to tell his story. And I'm very thankful for that. And so now Kyle's on board with Team Race Safe Fuel Arrester from us. So he's going to be promoting us, and he's running it on his new car this season. He had a lot of people come help him, which is great. It's great to see the community of the North Carolina area where he lives to come together and help him get his other car going. So he got him an Acura now, and so far he's done pretty good in his car. And so we got, if you follow us on TikTok, so go to TikTok and look up Race Safe for Fuel Arrester or Jared Hudson, either one. I think it's listening or both. That's our TikTok. I use it strictly for racing, strictly for the fuel arrester. I don't watch a lot of videos on TikTok unless it's racing videos or one of my friends that I follow. I watch their videos or whatever. But and then also you can like us on Facebook at Race Safe for Fuel Arrester. And we have a website that I built, Race Safe for Fuel Arrester, LLC.com, and our website. So, yeah, you can follow us on there. But on our TikTok, I had to cut up our videos. But Kyle Jinks did two live videos on his Facebook. And his phone died and he lost service or whatever the case was, so he had to restart his live. So what I did on our Facebook is I took both of those videos and combined them to one big video. And then, because I'm good at editing videos, I got a video editing program I use for my filming races. And so I take the two videos, combine them, and then put his information on there. I put Front Wheel Drive Fridays, and I got it uploaded to our Facebook, and you can watch it. And Kyle shows what the fuel arrester he bought, like on his car in his fuel cell, and it's great, man. How he's got that set up in his car, and he talks about it. And one of the things that Kyle talks about on this is that it's designed to, it's not going to soak up all your race fuel, like I said, but it's going to soak up enough where it gives you time. And I love how Kyle explained this. He explained it better than I've been explaining it, I'm going to be honest. But, like, the way Kyle explained it was,
time, giving you time to get out of the car, time to get unbuckled, time to just all that extra time. Because if that fuel cell gets ruptured in any way, then it'll soak up a good bit of your race fuel, and it gives you time. Now, it's like anything in racing. It's not 100% foolproof. It'll still take damage, but it'll soak up enough race fuel to give you time to get out of the car, and it keeps the car and driver from catching fire. And I'm tired of people joking about fuel fire safety. Like, that drives me crazy, how people don't take that serious, man. And I don't care what people think about when I say this. I'm just going to be honest with you. Fuel safety is a big importance to me. Safety in general, I don't joke about safety. I know there's a lot of people that skip on safety and, you know, basically duct tape and Gorilla Glue, the redneck's tool, that would be fine with them if they could. And I just don't, I mean, I may be a South Alabama redneck, but I don't believe in doing that in a race car. I don't skip on safety. You got to have new seat belts, safety harness. Got to have new neck braces, all that kind of stuff. Don't skip on neck braces either. You know, I mean, I'm sure Dale Earnhardt, if they had the Honda device mandatory back then, Dale Earnhardt would probably still be here, in my honest opinion. And I know there's going to be people argue with me, oh, that's not what killed Dale Earnhardt, blah, blah, blah. Well, his neck snapped, so regardless. Oh, we're not going to argue over that. So anyways, I'm just big on safety, and I love the fuel arrestor. It's made in the USA, a NASA-grade material. No Chinese-made garbage here. I don't like buying Chinese-made crap. I will not support anything made in China unless it's something that I absolutely have to have. I love supporting American jobs. I'm just big, especially racing gear that's made in the USA. I spend hours studying this stuff, so if somebody wants to try to argue with me about made in the USA, you better pack a lunch, because I study this stuff for hours. I can tell you what brands is and what ain't. And I'm starting to learn this on the racing world, too, a lot of safety gear. And then, of course, if you go to TikTok, you can see my videos on there. And I had to break up the Kyle Jinx video because TikTok only lets you do 10-minute videos, which is crazy. But I got some videos from Northwest Florida Speedway on there. And I just made it to the house, so let me see if I can swap my Bluetooth over to my Bluetooth on my headset, and let's see here. Maybe it won't end the call. Make sure I get this right. All right, I got the Bluetooth off. And let's see. I'm hopefully still on the call here, which I am. And let me bring this back up. Plus. All right, cool. Just made it to the house, so I got that set up. All right, cool. So, going to have an awesome show. Just wanted to promote the fuel safety and wanted to promote safety in general, and I'm always going to put safety at the forefront of the show and what I do. And then also, going to put God first in everything, so I always got to remember God first, then safety, then racing. You know, a lot of times you see drivers, I gotta buy this, I gotta buy that, and it's always something that has nothing to do to keep them safe. It's always engine, shock, whatever. Gotta have the best of this, best of that. You know, don't skip on safety. You know, like our fuel arrestor, our standard one we make goes from 16 to 22 gallon fuel cell, and it starts at $3.99. Which, I mean, you know, it's like my buddy William McDuffie said. You know, he was telling me a while back that he was looking into getting a fuel arrestor from us for his modified. He said, hey, I just spent about $400 on a Zamp neck brace. You know, if I can spend that much on something to keep my neck from snapping, surely I can spend that on something that keep me protected from a fuel fire. And he's right, because, you know, you'll spend a lot of money on a nice fire suit like Velocity USA or any of these nice brands out there. You'll spend a bunch of money on a fire suit,
Well, why not spend the same kind of money on something that will protect you from a fuel fire? And if you go to our Facebook, there's dozens and dozens and dozens of videos, pictures, and more that I have shared that Robbie has sent me of fuel fires that have happened. And it's unbelievable, y'all. Like, people need to take this stuff serious. Quit joking around about it. I'm tired of people joking around about safety and not taking it serious, you know, and which I understand, you know, nowadays everything's getting expensive and it's just hard to afford stuff. And I get it. I don't make a lot of money either. But if I ever get me a race car, which I plan on doing one day, I'm going to get me one. And I'm going to have me a fuel arrestor put on it, and I'll save back a little bit of money, you know, to have the best safety stuff I can in there. You know, I mean, I just want to be able to come home to my family, you know, my mom and dad and everybody else, just say, I want to be able to come back safe. You know, I mean, if you're a racer and you got a family, you know, you got a wife and kids, you want to come home safe to them. You don't want to get hurt at the racetrack. Ask Kyle Jenks about the wreck he was in. And Kyle Jenks tell you, check your safety. And Kyle Jenks, man, he's a great dude, man. I thank the world of him. Even though I've never personally met him, but we talk a good bit. We've talked a good bit on the phone. I watch all his lives. You can follow him on TikTok. Look up Kyle Jenks on Facebook. Look up Front Wheel Drive Fridays on Facebook. And I want to say Jerker Style Kyle is his TikTok. So look up Jerker Style Kyle on TikTok. And, of course, watch his Front Wheel Drive Friday show. He's got a lot of connections in the SC Duray class. And Kyle Jenks is doing pretty good this season. He got his car ready. He got the fuel arrestor on it. And he finished second. He finished second in the second race of the season, which was great, man. And then I want to say, I forgot where he finished this past weekend, but he did race this past weekend. And so shout out to Kyle Jenks, and thank you for putting a fuel arrestor on your car. And I want also shout out to Miss Teresa and David Little. They bought one from us for their car. And Mr. David races a 602 Sport Mod, or B Mod. He races a B Mod up there at Magnolia Motor Speedway. So shout out to David Little, CKC Racing. It's David and then Miss Teresa's brother. They both have a team together. So they race the B-Mod class, which is an awesome, awesome class at Magnolia. And shout out to Miss Teresa Little. She's somebody I really, really think highly of. And I'm going to definitely keep you in my prayers, Miss Teresa. And I'm glad they bought one from us. I've been to Magnolia 3-4 times now. And shout out to Dr. Dirt, Johnny Stokes, and Magnolia Motor Speedway. What a good job he's doing up there. And he's somebody else that's really highly thought of in the racing community. So shout out to Johnny Stokes. And I got to go see Miss Teresa this year. Got to go see Mr. David race. He's going to get that fuel arrestor. Hopefully he can get it put on his modified, and hopefully they'll have a good season at Magnolia. And our fuel arrestor fits any kind of car. It doesn't matter what size fuel cell. Junior Slingshots, I talked with my buddy Dougie Halford about getting one for the Junior Slingshot. That'd be great. They make them, we can get them made for go-karts, any size fuel cell. It doesn't matter. If you race on the lawnmower and you want one, we can get one for you. Because fuel fires are scary. They're dangerous. There's a video that I show this to everybody at the racetrack. I showed it to a bunch of people. It's eye-opener. People's jaws drop. You can just hear it in their voice when they watch it. But there's a video from DeSoto Speedway. It's an asphalt racetrack, and I forgot where it's at, but there's a video somebody has from a 2015 pure stock race, and asphalt pure stock race. And these cars come around, and two cars get tangled up, come around the turn, and you hear the announcer screaming because this guy comes in and has nowhere to go and pile drives the second car in the rear end. Well, all three cars catch fire because the fuel cell got hit. He hit that fuel cell dead on. It exploded. All three cars catch fire. Two of the drivers, it takes them a minute to get out. They get out of the car. with a third driver is still stuck in his car, which is the car that got sent to the bottom, and he's still stuck in his car, and he finally was able to get out. Well, when he got out, he was on fire, and he run down the racetrack screaming bloody murder, and he gets on the racetrack, stop, drop, and roll, and starts rolling. The safety crews pull up, and they put the fire out, spray him down with the fire extinguisher, and he got, like, third-degree burns, and I think he got sent to the hospital. I don't remember the rest of the story after that, but I do remember that much. And I don't remember the driver's names. Kyle Best was one of them, maybe. And anyways, it was scary because you hear the announcer screaming, big problems, big ball of fire, big problems, car catches fire. So this is 2015 when the video was shot. And so that's just scary. There's other dozens of videos we have, but that's just the main one I show people to show what our product would do. So please check us out online at RaceSaferFuelArresterLLC.com. I spend a lot of hours on that website, and we get a lot of traffic to that website. So I'd love to know your feedback, what you think of the website. It's a one-page website. It's simple. You know, it's not two or three pages. Maybe one day if we grow and get bigger, the website will be bigger. But as of right now, we're just one page. You can buy direct from the website. Doesn't matter what size fuel cell or what shape it is, what oddball shape it is. We can get one made if it's a teardrop, if it's a Jazz fuel cell. Brand don't matter. You just let us know what brand it is and let us know the dimensions, and we will get you set up. And so, okay, enough about that. Done with the safety part. So Michael Huseman's fixing to call in at Jackson Motor Speedway, announcer. So I'm super, super excited. And I'll be at Northwest Florida Speedway this weekend. I was thinking about going to Deep South because they got the Forever 51 race. I usually go to that. But Shane, shout out to Shane. Shout out to Shane Barnhill for inviting me to Northwest Florida Speedway. And I'm super excited because I love Northwest Florida Speedway. Scott Sessions, that's my friend, man. Scott Sessions is somebody else that I really, really, really think highly of. Like, I pray for Scott a good bit. And maybe one of these days coming up, me and Scott will get to go to church together. I'm gonna keep asking you, Scott. You just wait. And maybe this weekend. Who knows? Depends on what time you get done at the track. But I'm excited. All right. So Michael's fixing to be in the show. All right. So let me. All right. So Michael's called in. So let me get the Blog Talk Radio pulled up on my web browser real quick on my computer. And then I'll go ahead and bring Michael in. But, yeah, I'm going to Northwest Florida Speedway this weekend. I'm filming the races for the Southern Dirt Track Report. So if you want to be cool like Shane and some of these other cool people, join our supporters group at $4.99 a month. It's easy. You go to our Facebook page and look for groups on our Facebook page. And then you click supporters group. It'll be the one that says Southern Dirt Track Report supporters. And you'll click it. It's $4.99 a month. All of our videos we film, whether it's me, Amber, Artie, or Chase Montgomery, any videos or pictures we film, that's where they go, private group. Because, you know, we don't make no money going to the racetrack, so this is our way of making money. And maybe one day we'll be able to do this full-time. That's Artie's dream, and I'd love to do it full-time. Got me a new camera. Shout-out to the awesome gift I got recently, this new camera. So let me go ahead and bring Michael on here. And well, hey there, man. How you doing?
What's up, Jared? How are you doing tonight?
Man, I'm doing dang near skippy. God's great.
Absolutely, all the time.
I mean, I actually had a really, really good day today, and I got to give a shout out real quick to my buddy Sam Etheridge. He helped me sight in my .22 rifle earlier. We got it sight in with my loophole scope, so shout out to Sam. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that. So I'm glad to have you on the show tonight. So, and I hate it I got it shared at the last minute. I've been so swamped today at work and stuff. I was busier than a one-armed trombone player.
I can understand and relate to that.
Look, you ever seen a guy with one arm trying to play a trombone?
I can't say I've actually seen that, but yeah, I understand the imagery.
Boy, that would suck for real, man. Like, oh, I can't do it. Well, hey, well, I'll give you an A for effort. You tried, buddy. So I was shouting you out earlier. I don't know if you heard me or not, but like, so Michael's one of these dudes. He's in my small friend circle of people that I think the world of, and I am super thankful that me and Michael's friends, because over 4 hours to go to Winter Jam with me and John.
We had a blast, and I didn't make it to any other shows in the area here. I know I talked about where it came back through Birmingham, Tupelo. I think when they came through Tupelo, I had a friend from Minnesota down for the week, so I had to go there in South Haven. But had a couple others from a church here go. Really enjoyed it. You know, Julian wanted to go with me. I said if I went to South Haven, that he wanted to go with, so he wanted to go again. That's the kind of inspiration that, you know, it's looking for, the programs they run. And so I can't wait. I know we talked about it. You know, there's an annual one there at Mobile for next year. Looking forward to it already.
Yeah, and, you know, I was, because I'm on the people that, anybody that knows me knows I'm a huge Christian rock fan, and I work for Quake Radio, which is a Christian radio station. So shout out to Jason Katz, the owner of Quake Radio. And I'm the marketing director for the radio station. And we play all kind of Christian music. And one of them we play is Seventh Day Slumber. And I'm on their street team, which is like, it's just a small group of fans of theirs that just share their posts and stuff on Facebook. So I got to meet Seventh Day Slumber again. That's the third time I've seen them in concert. And they was on fire for the Lord. And Michael took my picture with the band. I enjoyed meeting Joseph Rojas again and Blaze, his son's a drummer. And then, of course, Weston Evans and the guitarist. And then, Ken Reed, the bass player. So that was cool. And that was a lot of fun. And then, of course, you wanted to meet Crowder. And I hate we didn't get to meet Crowder. That sucked.
Yeah, it happens. I know they were staying busy and getting ready to travel. I mean, I don't remember where they were going the following night that they took up as, what was it? 11:30, almost midnight. You know, they headed out, and we got to see Seven Slumber, some of the videos, and talked about the schedule with that. So, I was a little disappointed with that, but like I said, I understand. The big thing that I found was, and when we talked with 7 Day Slumber a little bit just after the event, but getting to see then, I know Sheridan tagged me in their video when he was doing videos throughout the tour, after shows or before shows. I don't remember if that was before or after a show. But getting to hear their story and their testimony. I mean, they do a little bit. You know, when they come out to play or through some of the songs, I know that was one of the big things for him with that one, was what the song meant and why they had it and produced it. But just getting to hear the whole story, and that's a huge thing. I mean, because that is what changes lives.
Yes. And so I'm glad I shared that with you that night. So Joseph, the lead singer, was live, and it was in between one of their shows, and he came out to their big tour bus, and he went live. I was talking with the fans. Well, he shared the story, and I sent Michael the video also, but y'all can look them up on YouTube and Facebook, 7 Day Slumber. They're a Christian rock band. They kind of do hard rock, and they're on fire for the Lord. Well, anyways, their new album is called Fractured Paradise, and I just got it on CD, and it's great. It's got a lot of great inspirational songs on it. But one of them is called My Novocaine, and Joseph explains on the video I sent Michael, and he explained it on the live there, and he just starts bawling, in video is how impactful this song is. But he talked about how his rough, you know, upbringing, he was like, and he shared his testimony many times over the years about how he had a like a $500 or $700 a day cocaine addiction. And then he said that, like, he almost died from that. He was in the back of an ambulance, and then his mom was praying for him while he was in the back of the ambulance because she didn't know where he was. She just knew that he was going to the hospital or something. And he said if it hadn't been for his mom praying for him, he wouldn't have got saved. And he said he felt God reach out and grab him in the back of that ambulance and brought him back to life. And then he got saved after that. And it took him a while to get over the alcohol addiction, the cocaine, whatever. And he just shared that testimony. But then he shared about how his son Blaise wrote this song, My Novocaine. And it was just such an impactful song. It just, like, it was during this time where Joseph was, when he had an alcohol addiction, he was going through that. And he was the lead singer of a Christian band, you know, Seventh Day Slumber at the time. And he just wasn't 100% right where he needed to be. And then, and he talks about how his son Blaise had a like a porn addiction or whatever, and so that song is that song is about that, and how he dealt with that, and it's a really, really great impactful song. And when me and Michael saw that video and him just tell that testimony, I said, man. And then to hear him sing it, now I know why that what that song was about when he explained it, and it's a pretty good song.
That's what, yeah, when they played it live there, I mean, it was a good song, just hearing it, but to get the story behind it, that just made it that much more impactful. And you talked about that video. He was very raw and candid in sharing his story along with his son, Blaise. So that is one of those things that, as a Christian, you really are drawn to hear somebody confess that. You know, we don't just confess to the Lord, but one to another. To open up like that and share that on a live video, that just tells you their heart, you know.
Oh, it does, because, like, you could tell, like I'm in a group chat with Joseph, and it's for the street team, basically. It's like five or six of us plus Joseph in there. And, like, you can just tell when he talks. Like, he knows his stuff. Like, they've been a band for 25 years, and his wife, Lori, he's been married to her for all of 25 years, I believe it is. And just to see him share that testimony about that song and what it, like, when he just broke down crying, that tells you, I mean, he's a human being just like the rest of us. And for him to say that testimony and how, because he said Blaise come to him and started telling him about his addiction, what he was going through. And then he's like, Dad, I didn't go to God because I felt like that God wasn't listening to me because of what I was doing. And then he realized, it's like, no, God listens to you no matter what you're going through, what kind of storms or whatever. And like that was, wow.
And that is the story right there, is no matter what, you can always come to Jesus. So that's always great to hear.
It is, and I'm thankful you got to come with us. That meant a lot to me that you drove all that way to come to that concert. And John enjoyed meeting you, and even though John wanted to be the back row Baptist and sit behind us.
Now we banged on him pretty much while I was on with you. We better ease off of him tonight, but... As I said, he saved me. He had hard candy since we weren't allowed to smoke in the building, and I had a tough time getting outside when I wanted to. So I really do owe him, because he had some hard candy to help me through the night.
Hey, that hard candy was a lifesaver, and I still believe this today. That was the Lord telling you, Michael, you better stop that.
Yeah. It's on my heart. I haven't committed to it yet, I'll tell you that, but...
Yeah.
Certainly know that with him anything can be overcome.
That's right. And I'm super thankful we're friends. So I remember one of the earliest memories of us, I remember seeing you at Why Not Motorsports Park. You were always live with the the Big Eight, or is it the Big Eight or the Big Ten? I forgot which one it was at the time. Street Fighter
both,
series.
Both. Well, yeah, I was going to say it was both, because we went from first year was Big Eight to the next year in the Big Ten.
Okay, yeah, because they had changed it up. I knew it was something like that. And I remember meeting you filming, and I had my I was filming or something. I didn't have a whole lot of stuff filming with, but I remember you had a cell phone, and you had your little tripod, and you was always live, and you was always, you know, and I remember all that, and I met you from that, and I remember that night that I gave you that little pocket cross that I gave on my ministry, the little pocket cross with the card to come with it. I remember giving you that, and then, like, not long after that, I forgot when it was, I had heard that you got saved and was like, wow, this is awesome. And then we've been great friends ever since.
I did. That was one of the tipping points, if you will, throughout my life. I've had those that have tried to reach me, and I'm stubborn and stiff-necked, as it says in Scripture. But yes, it was about that time frame that I came to know the Lord. Became part of the church here in Columbus, Mississippi, a state line Baptist church. And you talked about being as busy as you are. That's I've been more busy since serving the Lord than I was in the military, you know, doing a 24-hour job. I'll tell you that, and it's a good thing.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, and I also got to, so for those people that don't know, you served many years, so thanks for your service. So what did you serve as? You was in the Air Force,
I was an air traffic controller in the Air Force, and I can see it now, as I've told when I've done different meetings or sermons at churches, given my testimony. You know, you talk about sending Moses off for like he went for 40 years of, you know, to be prepared. He had been tabbed or chosen by the Lord, but didn't know how to handle it. Although I wasn't acknowledging God, he was still with me, and he knew that I needed training as far as being a servant. So, yeah, I did 24 years in the U.S. Air Force as an air traffic controller, which also thus, with my talent, with my voice, when I got out, came into racing. But God said, okay, that's not just the only thing. You can do that as far as your hobby and, you know, making a little bit of money, but I have bigger things for you. As I started doing both classes at the church, different speaking engagements. You know, today I was down at Bibb County Correctional Facility going as part of a prison ministry. So the Lord has blessed me. And although it took a while to come to him, again, don't ever think you can't be used.
That's right. So tell everybody that's listening, talk about your church's ministry and the prison ministry, but the Bridge 21, talk about that.
Well, okay, start with the prison ministry. That's one of those of the story that goes with is the having patience and waiting on the Lord. Don't think that the Lord doesn't hear your prayer. When I came to State Line, that was something that I wanted to be involved in. It was during, just at the tail end, or part of COVID, so Columbus had shut down and wasn't doing any. As COVID ended, they weren't ready to open up. Again, they always gave a ton of reasons, lack of manning and this and that. Well, after two and a half to 3 years, another church went to in Tuscaloosa, actually, as part of the Bible study, men's Bible study, they were talking about it. So actually it happened through another church there in Northport, Alabama, and so became a part of that prison ministry. Again, it's not one specific church, although majority of them do come from Northport. It is, you know, the prison ministry stands on itself. And the transition ministry at Bibb County, I'm trying to think of the name of the church where Steve Longmaster is over in Birmingham. I was just over there for the concert right now. The name Grace and Truth Church, I believe. But there again, the organization of it, the impact it has, just in the year and a half I've been doing that, the impact it has. When I started, we did Celebrate Recovery and a new program called the Funnels of Faith. And those end, the group takes a 6-month hiatus until they're ready to do those two particular classes again on rotation. Well, as I got to be involved in that, I was drawn in even more. Right now, on Mondays and Thursdays, I go down twice a week and go in and sit in on classes and actually help facilitate another one starting next week because they know my commitment and how much I want to be a part of it, that they've asked me to help facilitate another one based on the Fruits of Life. Let me see if I got the candy here. Yeah, Fruitful Life, Jerry Bridges is what they're working out of. And then I'm sitting in just on three other ones. Praying Life is one that we have on Monday mornings, as well as Corrective Thinking. And the Corrective Thinking is one, I will do whatever I have to be able to continue to go to that, as well as Authentic Manhood, the 33 series. That is let me do some math in my head. There's 6 per book. And there's 6 books, so 36-week course. And that is one that is actually available. Our church has access to Right Now Media, which has a lot of programs, videos, and lessons on it that if the church is a member of, has access to. And that 33 series is on there. So on one of the weeks when I wasn't able to go, I go in and watch the video, and I have the book that they give me to catch up and stay with the lessons. But it's also then the impact of your small group discussion and sharing after you watch the video. So on those days, I still got to watch the video and do my homework lessons from it. But the impact of sharing as part of that group, and I call it a small group of most of the time, there's 20 to 25 in classes. And I tell them that's one of the things when you look at, and Jared, I know, having been involved in your church, what is it,
Grove Hill Baptist.
Grove Hill, there we go. It's a struggle because on the outside, or as they call it, refer to a free world, the getting a men's group together to meet on a kind of regular basis is a struggle because the world of the distractions and everything else, that is a real struggle. And I said, obviously they're inside prison and they got to accept responsibility for their actions and the consequences thereof. But the advantage they have of that group, built-in men group, as I said, and they divide into then 3 and 4 other small groups within that for different things, that they have that right now and hopefully take that out and bring it and build it upon on the outside. Because like I said, that's really tough. When I go to different men's groups, they are at different churches, and it ranges anywhere from maybe 5 to 10 at most. And it's on a semi-regular basis. So, and I learned this when I went to the conference with it. The amount of hours in classroom that they get through this transitional ministry program is like 1,400-something hours, more than what you would put in and get with a 4-year college degree.
Wow, that's awesome.
It really is, and that's one I've been sharing around. Some of the things that I share with you, Jared, or others, come from these programs because, like I said, I mean, they are some really great programs. Here, let me see. I got a schedule here just to run off some names. The prayer one I said we're doing.
Cool.
And this is based on, what do I want to say, all of them are Christian-based. And the programs that they run through are identified under a couple different categories. Several of them are under a drug and alcohol abuse or issue. So that's where they celebrate recovery. And I'm looking for the other one. I know I was looking. Addicted Brain. That one falls under that category. But then there's also the Freedom in Christ King Thinking Program, the SALT. There's several in that, and that falls under different categories as well as far as handling fatherhood, marriage, whatever it be, getting it right, the cure. I do have that book. I haven't been a part of that class, but I heard that one's a good one. Conquerors is over sexual addiction when it comes to that. And what other one am I? Apologetics. That was another one that, just kind of looking at the book that they have for it. Like I said, there are times when I envy the fact that they do have the opportunity to be a part of all these programs.
Wow, that's awesome. Sounds like a great, great program.
It is, and I'm so fortunate and blessed to be a part of it. Like I said, there are several in there that I would call friends. I mean, you know, I understand. Like I said, they're aware of, and this is, let's see, out there, there's six different dorms. Each dorm has three bays. The three dorms on the right side of the institution are Christian-based. There's several other programs in there, the PATH, the CORE. I know another friend that I've gotten to know now is part of the CORE program on that side. And so, again, there's different classes and programs they're running through, but really big things happening there at Bibb County. So,
wow, that's awesome. And then, so your other one is the Bridge 21.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I got so excited with that. Yeah, the pastor came with Bridge 21, and the basis behind that was when you start, he built a bridge in the sanctuary there. And had a bag of sand. He dumped the sand out. But talking about being on sand, building your foundation on the sand versus the rock. And so he built this bridge, and one end of it was the sand, and then the other being the rock. When you come to know Jesus, you cross that bridge. Well, as he looked at it, in State Line Baptist Church, during his time of pastorship, he had counted 21 different youth that had come through that had maybe started across or were looking at crossing the bridge and didn't make it all the way across, or even what they do of where they go from there, you know, and stay on that side of the bridge on the rock. And so there were 21 that he felt had come through and maybe didn't make it all the way or were in the process or whatever. And it's the age group of 17, 18 up to 24, because that is really where then that foundation should be laid. Again, not to say others can't, like myself, not until you're age 40 or so, but the focus on, and so it was about those 21 within our church, but it became such a thing when people had asked that it really was just about the youth, young believers getting across that bridge and then staying on that side and building upon that then, so that they in then turn can also help others cross the bridge.
Wow, that's awesome. It kind of bridges the gap because, like, so many times I've seen it at my church because I've been involved with helping my youth for many years now. And I even recently helped my buddy Austin, who was a youth pastor there. I helped him a good bit. And if they still need help, I still help them. But, like, I see this when youth graduate from high school and graduate from the church, like, a lot of them rarely end up going to church in college. They rarely come back to church unless their parents are really, really rooted and strong in the faith and they keep them in church. And you'll have those core ones that'll come back, but for the most part, a lot of them don't come back, and it's sad to see.
And you hit the nail on the head there. That's where it talks about that bridge. As ones do grow, they may then come to Jesus or return, if you will, at about the age 30, and that's where the group is 18 to 24, because that's where they may have that tendency to stray. As you said, they've graduated high school, get into college, or research or career or whatever. That's that gap where was focused, Pastor Rock was focused on keeping them engaged and helping them to stand on that foundation, not get across the bridge and then just become stagnant or wander off with hope, obviously, that they do come back, but staying engaged in during that time period.
Wow. What an awesome ministry. I'm glad that y'all do that, because I never really thought about it before until you mentioned it. And then I'm like, you know what? I've been seeing this my whole life, seeing how many youth actually come back to church. Like, and, you know, it's good to have good, encouraging parents, family members, friends, whatever, that help these youth, encourage them to get back into church. And I love y'all's ministry, because I see your pictures all the time of bridges, and it says Bridge 21, and that's pretty cool.
Well, and that was, and I got some help with it. Different people that had sent me one is there too, as different parts of it. When you look at the bridge that Robert built and utilized, there were 12 pillars. And as elders and members of the church, the posts are those who were helping to pray. And my day to pray was Saturday. So I started with that at the beginning of the year, as I did my prayer over 21 again, just from our church. There's several others I talked to, just like you said, that, yeah, we had that same problem within our church. You know, it wasn't specific to ours. But that, as I prayed, I was like, okay, put up that Bridge 21 post. And so throughout the year for 2023, that was the goal, was to pray. Somebody was praying over that group every day throughout the entire year. So my day, like I said, was Saturday, and I would put that post up with it, or picture up with it. I used it as my profile picture. That, yeah, there were 52 different bridges that went up with the Bridge 21 post on it. And like I said, I got several different people. Some I borrowed, maybe without their permission, off Facebook that I found or whatever. But I had several people that actually sent me pictures. They said, hey, we know you can do this bridge thing. Here's a picture, a bridge to use.
Wow. How cool is that? That's cool right there.
And that was one thing I took from that as I was doing it. You look at the different types of bridges, the different locations, what it is, whether it be a big bridge over a huge waterway, a little walkway bridge. Again, it shows the differences in where people are in their lives, or for some, crossing that bridge might just be a walkway bridge, whereas some others with big struggles or something might find it one of the bigger. I know I used one with from Duluth with the in the shipping area with the drawbridge. The raising drawbridge, and there again, that's a bigger bridge. You're going over the water. There's other obstacles you got to overcome, things like that. I mean, there are so many things you can tie into it with that. One being from Jackson Motor Speedway, a bridge that road's been closed, so that bridge has been abandoned and run down. So, like I said, I mean, there's just so many aspects you can look at it in utilizing those pictures. Which when I started again, I was just like, well, I'll put up a bridge picture. The more I kept at it and different ones I got to use, the more I realized of looking at different people in different places and different needs for that bridge, just brought it all that much more personal.
Wow, that's cool. I like that. What a great ministry. And I like both those ministries. Prison ministry, and if anybody wants to donate or help with either of those ministries, where can they find them?
Well, for the Bridge 21, obviously it is from within the church. I'm sure Brother Robert would take any donation as far as that. We do still have some programs going on. The prison ministry, though, I don't know of. It's transitional ministry and life cycle reentry. I know is the program we're under TM, which is Transitional Ministry. I know that a big one they are part of is Bibb County Correctional Facility there in Alabama, Brent, Alabama. You'd have to look that up online, I guess.
Okay, cool. Well, that's great. So now we'll transition to dirt track racing. And so for those that's listening, I want y'all to share this show out. Tell everybody we got the Big Mouth of the Mid-South. Ain't that your nickname?
Yeah, well, it is, yeah. I still go by it. That was part of the Mid-South Big Ten Street Stock Series, but that moniker kind of stuck. I still do use it. As you mentioned, I'm the announcer at Jackson Motor Speedway, Capital City Raceway. Been out blast with that. Still doing that on a regular basis. So I know we don't always get to run weekly, but hoping for the best this weekend. You talked about going to the Northwest Speedway, and I saw Corey Gann heading down to the Forever 51 at Deep South. Unfortunately, in prepping for the show tonight, I did see that Magnolia Motor Speedway has called off the Golden Egg Nationals for this weekend. That was supposed to be a big event, a 3-day practice and 2 days of racing. They are going to still try to run a weekly racing program on Saturday, but because the event was supposed to be the 2-day show with the Mississippi Street Stock Series, they postponed that until May. I don't have the exact date, but are going to still try and run weekly. Jackson is supposed to run this weekend as well, and we're going to have the Capital City Sprints there in addition to our weekly racing. Again, hopefully the weather holds out, and that goes for down there at Northwest Speedway as well as Deep South Speedway for their Forever 51 race.
And, you know, speaking of Forever 51, so Corey Gann come down and won it last year, and I've been going ever since they first started it. Well, last year was the first year that Bo Slade didn't get to race in it, and he didn't get to race Chandler Shaw's car. And he said he wasn't going to race it, which is, you know, I understand. And so he won the first two, which was awesome. Bo Slay's a good dude, too. He'd drive. Then Corey Gann come down there last year. And let me tell you, he beat them boys like a redhead stepchild. He went out there, and he was like Darryl Waltrip, boogity, 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 let's go racing. He was he had that factory stock in the wind. So shout out Corey Gann. Corey Gann racing. He won it. I think his wife was with him. And he is phenomenal. I think he drives a 4-car. Is that correct?
Actually, it was the G1. He has driven the 4 before, but it was the G1. It's now the 7K. And I can't give you the story as far as that. I know Brad Fortner's helping with that team now. It is actually the 7K. The G1 car, they had a new one, got tore up. I've unfortunately seen Corey Gann in a couple of really, really bad wrecks. One being at Columbus Speedway where he hooked. Yeah, I saw him, you know, slide up off the corner. It's one of those where the exit, the track is as you come off of turn two and go into the pit side on the back side. So there's that little bit of gap. Fortunately, it's rounded off. But, yeah, he was using the high side and sliding up. And I was actually down on the end going into turn three. I saw him come off, hit the wall, come back into the track, and then another car got into him. They were battling 3 and 4 wide and just saw his car go completely the other direction. I mean, wasn't even completely turned and all of a sudden spun back the other way. And then you got 3 or 4 involved in the dust and everything else. When it was all said, then I think there were like 7 cars that were involved. But his car, I mean, essentially just got ripped in half. But all the drivers
that's scary.
Were okay. Yeah, I know you were talking
great.
About when I first came on of safety, especially from the fuel side. But talk about the roll cages and everything else, the Haas devices, window nets, all of it. I mean, that is all so important for that reason right there, you know, that anything can happen. I'm sure we've all seen different racing incidences and what can happen. So to see him walk away, you know, that's going to take a little bit of time, work, and money to get the car repaired. But that can be repaired, you know. Human life, you can't just rebuild that necessarily.
That's right, because like, and you know from being an announcer, I'm sure you've seen some sketchy race cars out there. Like, I've seen some race cars where it looked like Jeff Foxworthy went out there with some duct tape and Gorilla Glue and said, here you go, let's go. I mean, woo.
Well, for me personally, the window nets is a big one for me, as my dad was raced up in Minnesota. Down here, it's what they call the hot shots, the four-cylinder, six-cylinder front-wheel drive class. I'm trying to remember what they called it up there.
Was it Buzz, maybe?
I don't remember if it was the Buzz class, but it was a four-cylinder class. And he got turned sideways, was headed up the track in the middle of the corner, turned up, and then rolled over just one time on its side back to its wheels. But in that, his arm had gone out the window and was underneath it when it was on its side. They were able to put the hand back on with a lot of surgery, but it's got limited mobility in the wrist and the tendons. You got two tendons, one that covers the thumb, index finger, and middle finger, and then the other one that covers the middle finger and your ring finger and pinky. That one was completely severed, so those fingers curled up. So he is to the point where, and I don't know how much weight he can hold or grip with it and hold with it, but as he put it, it's better than a hook and having to go through that process. But it is limited, and like I said, it's got limited mobility. Window nets is a big one for me.
Well, see, like, I've had people argue with me over window nets. And, like, why would you argue over something that can save your life? You know how stupid that sounds? I just want to throw a huge red flag in their face and have a siren go off for somebody being that stupid, because they'd argue against safety. Like, and I'm sure somebody's going to get mad at me. I don't care. So, window nets, like, I think they should be mandatory in every class, late models, you name it, like you said, because even my buddy Chris Hartman was telling me a while back, I don't remember the story, but it was somebody at Deep South Speedway had their hand was out the window, and it broke their arm, just broke it, and he'll have to tell you the story, and I don't remember who it was. But, I mean, window nets, it should be mandatory in every class, in my opinion.
Well, I'll tell you what, our first week at Jackson Motor Speedway, we hosted the Mississippi State Championship Challenge Series Super Late Models. And that is the first time I have ever heard a reprimand for that. B.J. Robinson won the race. And I don't remember, I don't want to call out the wrong driver here, but because I think it might have been during one of the heat races that it happened. Robinson won the feature. But you see drivers, and I understand you want to celebrate and all, coming by to take the checkered and have their arm out the window, you know, pumping the fist in the air. And that's great. And I never thought about it before, but series director, I just drew a blank on his name.
Charles
Thrash. There we go. Thank you. I was like, I can get everybody in the family but him. But yeah, he reprimanded him over the radio with the threat of a DQ. And I was like, wow, that seems a little harsh. But you think about it, if they're taking the checkered flag, that one hand out the window. One, they only got one hand on the steering wheel, okay? You know, you want to do the fist pump, you know, after you're under control. Second off, there's still cars coming behind you trying to finish the race and get second on back, right? So there is that risk and possibility. And that is one of those you don't realize until it happens. And maybe Charles has seen it happen that way, and that's why it's a big thing for him. So, I mean, when he first made a call over the radio and admonished him, I was like, that was kind of odd. You know, I've never seen that before. In talking to him, there is obviously a very good reason for it, and it makes sense, all in the name of safety, like you mentioned. So I was like, you know what? I've never seen that. I've never heard it. I am 100% in support of it. You don't know what can happen in a case like that.
Yes, you just don't know. And I'm glad you brought that up because I didn't know that they met, you know, that he would do that. So that's great because Mr. Charles, I've met him a few times, and I know Chad, and they're great people, man. The whole Thrash family, they do a good job of that series. And, of course, you got all the big names like Flying Brian Rickman and then Chad when he has a super, and then so many different, like B.J. Robinson and so many big-name drivers drive for them. So I'm glad they do that, man, because I'm sure there's somebody going to get mad about that. I don't care if they get mad about it or not. If it saves your life or keeps your arm getting broke off, then big whoop-de-doo.
Well, and I say, I was one, like I said, when he first did it, it caught me off guard just because I hadn't seen it or heard it, and I truly didn't process it to that level. When he explained it, I was like, you're 100% right, and good on you, like you said, good on you. You know, whether or not other tracks or their series take heed to that and adapt it, if I have input, I would certainly do so, because it's valid.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
so,
with that, there is time to celebrate it. After the race, we had a first-time winner, Devin Watley, in the late models, 604 late models, picked up his first career victory. Now, let me tell you,
really? Afterwards,
he definitely celebrated. You know, there is a time and place for that, and I want to give a big shout-out to Devin Watley getting his first win.
So, tell us about that night and tell us about his win.
Well, from that area of weekly racing, and I think I said that incorrectly, it's the KB Motorsports Sportsman Division, the 602s, but I said it was the 604s. He has gone from putting together a rough shape car to out there running, trying to stay out of the way, to being competitive week in and week out. And when they started talking about it, that it was his first career win, not just at Jackson Motor Speedway, but career win, I hadn't realized that because I know he has been that competitive. And so it's always great to see that as a driver develops, goes from, you know, out there running to getting in the top 10, to getting in the top 5, to being competitive for the win. And beat a couple of tough drivers. I know Tyler Hudson wasn't there, our defending track champion, is out with a broken hand, coincidentally. I don't think that had anything to do with racing, but I know he's just out with a hand injury right now. Zach Owens, another one that is a regular weekly racer there. There were some other top drivers there. It wasn't like he won on a week when nobody else was there. I want to say that. So there was some great racing. Some very competitive. He certainly didn't run away with it. Zach Owens gave him everything he could to hold him off, that he had to hold him off. It wasn't any kind of geeky win either.
Wow.
And I know,
awesome.
Jared,
I bet he was
Jared,
doing
I know, he did. Well, that's what he did when he first, after that, did a little bit there on the front straightaway. Zach goes by and stopped by, and I can see him congratulating him. You know, it's one of those, you love to see it when your competitors didn't win, but they're happy for you. You know, those guys parked next to each other there in the pit area, always helping each other out. That's always great to see as well when, you know, that's the kind of atmosphere that's created under good local short track racing. Your competitors are happy for you when you win. Yeah, he certainly didn't. And I know they went to some post race at the end of the night to do the photos and more celebrating on the track there afterwards. You know, you get the checkboard, right? So he was there at the office by the time I got out of the booth and come down after the races, there to get that checkboard. A lot of drivers, they care just as much about that big cardboard check as anything. And so he was in the office trying to get it from Terry, and I saw he had kind of a loose grasp on it, so I went up and I snagged it and took off like I was going to run away with it. I mean, you know, again, it's a cardboard check, don't mean nothing other than identifying the win. And, yeah, he come after me, and I was like, yeah, come here, you know, give him a big hug because I was so happy for him as well. But, yeah, they're pretty feisty about those checkboards.
That's funny. How old is he?
I don't actually know. I would say mid-30s, maybe.
That's cool. Well, that's awesome. Congratulations. That's cool, man. Yeah, that checkboard would be pretty cool to get. And so that was something you were going to mention before you mentioned that.
Well, I feel fortunate. I know it's about this week of if we get to run or not. The next 2 weeks coming up, not consecutive. This weekend, the 13th, and then the 27th. This weekend, we're going to have the Capital City Sprints, which are now under no rules as far as horsepower. And again, I'm not a tech guy, but opened up the rules. Other than it will still be non-winged sprints. I know they ran at Why Not at the Why Not Motorsports Park for Battle of the States. So they're starting to circulate a little bit more and build that class. And they think opening up the rule book is going to help build it a little bit. When they've run there, we have had a couple different ones come from Carolinas, actually. And I know with the ones that run up in Memphis and then several from down in Louisiana, hopefully have a good crowd with that. And then at the end of the month is going to be the Hurricane Area Super Sprint Series, the Haas Sprints. They'll be on the 27th. So, yeah, we got this week, again, weather permitting, hopefully, keep your fingers crossed, and then a week off, and we'll come back at the end of the month. And I say we've been blessed. I know some tracks hadn't even gotten one race in yet. We got both of ours in so far there with the State Series and then last week with Week of Racing.
That's amazing because, like, Mr. Donald Parker, I was hoping to get him on, but I forgot to mention it to him to the last minute about tonight, but maybe get him on next week. But poor Donald Parker over at Harrisburg Speedway, man, they've been rained out. It was, who knows, they've already been rained out like 4 or 5 races this year. It's just crazy. And then last year, I don't know the number, but Ron Southern can tell you and Donald can tell you, they rained out like an astronomical number of races, and they race on Friday nights until football season comes in. Then they swap to Saturday nights, and because of local high school football and whatnot. But like, they got rained out a bunch on Friday nights, and I hate that, man, because Donald Parker puts a lot of work in that track, and that rainouts suck. And I know y'all up there, it floods up there every now and then for y'all.
Yeah, when we've had issues, Jackson isn't about what hit the week of going into a race. It's about 2 to 3 weeks prior, and that ranges all the way up to what rain hits Tennessee as the Tennessee Bigby comes down and then into Pearl River, as there's a levee right there behind the track. I know Richard Ford was down, Flipper was down for the All-American a couple years ago. We had been out Friday night. We ran Friday night at the hotel. I got up Saturday morning. I got a message from him saying, well, what are we going to do now? And I said, what? And he said, it's canceled. And I was like, what? I can't even describe without pictures. You can't really understand that pit area. And when I got there, I mean, they were still a couple haulers. They were trying to pull out and running around in boats at that point that the pit area got that flooded.
Golly.
I think it was Sarah Amanda's sister that said they had gone about 10:30 or something into town to get McDonald's or something. And when they crossed the pit road in and out of the track, there was a small trickle of water across. By the time they got back, they couldn't then even get into the pit area because it had started, that levee overflowed and started flooding that just in a half-hour time period there. And again, that had come from 2 to 3 weeks prior, it just now moving down and pushing up over that levee.
That is crazy, because I remember, like, I've been to Jackson 3 times. I think, is it twice or 3 times? Yeah, 3 times. And, like, it didn't, thankfully it wasn't flooding in, but I've seen the pictures that Amanda posted on y'all's Facebook, I guess it was last year when it flooded, and that was unbelievable. Like, the go-kart track, everything. Like, he was pretty much, like, you could have took Bill Dance bass fishing out there.
Yeah, if it gets above that levy, and, you know, we talked about it of there's only one way to prevent it, and that would take some serious money because you would have to trench basically all around that back side of the pit area there to redirect it. And like I said, it would take some serious money for one, but it's one of those unfortunate things, and they keep an eye on that. Like I said, it's not always about the weather that's in the area or been there the week prior, like a lot of tracks. You know, it's just gotten too wet right now. It's about what happened over the previous 2 to 3 weeks, all the way up from Tennessee. Again, it's not even necessarily what gets hit, what comes down here in Mississippi. It's what gets up in Tennessee and comes down the river.
Wow, I never would have thought about that, because I always just assumed it because it was a rainstorm. But then you said it comes from the mouth of Tennessee River. I was like, wow, that's amazing.
Like I said, hopefully everybody gets to get in. I didn't even look to see what kind of update we get. I know, see, now the mag is one that, based on where it sits, I said I hadn't pulled it up until today. I think they actually had made that post yesterday. Just knowing how much rain been here at the house and in this area, they, especially this time of year when it's not soaking in, you know, and I feel for Johnny Stokes there with the Speedway. Theirs is all about what comes in the week prior, and how much we've had just in general as to whether or not it soaks in. I know they're sitting in a, I can't think of what they call it, a spot where it'll hold water, so doesn't have a good runoff in that area. That I kind of got the feeling they were going to struggle this weekend, but, and like I said, they've already made the call at least to call off the Nationals. I hope that, again, this is one of those of people don't understand, and I know we got drivers, Jackson's about 3 hours here from Columbus, so some of the drivers, you know, got to pick and choose which track they're going to go to. But even if it's bright sunshine, I hope both tracks are successful. You know, I don't want to say I hope they rain out so we get the cars or, you know, whatever. Because that's not good for the sport.
No, it's not. And sadly, there's people that think like that. People think, oh, well, I'm glad they rained out. Now we'll get all the cars on our track. I'm like, wow, that's messed up.
Yeah, it is, and I know it's tough, especially when you got tracks of within the local vicinity. I know we have one here that Pine Ridge up towards Guntown, another 2 hours north, runs as well as Winfield, and it's been renamed. I want to say it's West Alabama Speedway now under the Birds that are running that speedway, 2 hours northeast here into Alabama, North Alabama Speedway. You know, I understand everybody's trying to get their slice of the pie, but I would never put that on another track because, you know, if we're not running, just say, I'll tell you that story. Tyler's going to get mad at me. I'd keep sharing it, but we were down at Jackson. So for me, I drove down there, 3 hour drive down there, just shy of 3 hours, knew that the weather was a possibility of an issue. And yeah, we did have to call off. Well, the mag was running, so I'm like, well, I could get back home and watch racing at the mag. And there were several of the drivers that were down there that were going to then go up, and Tyler Hudson was one of them. So they take off and haul north. And I'm a little bit behind them, apparently, but I knew if I got to town, I was going to be on fumes, and then I also got to get 15 minutes more back across town to get home. But so I stopped on the way home to get gas. I think it was Renfro. There's a gas station there. Anyway, as I come into Columbus, about a mile to 2 miles just short of the track, Hudson's just pulled over alongside the road, and I see the dude walking with the gas can. So in order to try to get there and get registered, maybe catch their heat race, they had tried to go all the way, and I said, come up just a mile short. So they already had gas en route, but I went ahead to the track, got him in, registered, got his transponder and everything, so that once they did get to the track, they could just unload and go. But again, I mean, that's the drive of a racer. You know, it's like, hey, we want to race, we want to go. You know,
Hey, look, that's dedication. That is radar for redneck right there. They wanted to race. That's funny right there. So, do y'all have a big season this year for Jackson?
We do. I don't happen to have my full schedule up. I know Terry had it posted. Let me see if I can find it. Obviously, our big event of the year, All-American, which will be Labor Day weekend, I believe, again this year with the Comp Cam Spillate models. I think with them, they visit twice a year. I think the State Series is coming back one more time. Again, we kicked off the season with actually a really good event there. Again, shout out to BJ Robinson. You mentioned Rickman. I think he ended up fourth. He had kind of slid back. I think he ended up, here we go, let's see, Jackson Motor Speedway. So we got the two sprint car shows, then several weekly. The sprint cars, Capital City Sprints will be back on June 29th. We got the fourth annual Hotshot Shootout in July. The Patriot Roofings presents the Mississippi State Series. They'll be back a second time on July 27th. And then 8:30, 31. Okay, it's still Labor Day weekend, though, because that'd be the first, I'm guessing. Here it shows August the 30th will be the All-American Qualifying and Heats, and the 31st of August as far as the Comp Cam Super Late Model feature, All-American. And then the Haas AS Sprint Cars as well in September. So looks like we got about, we normally go three out of the four weekends per month. I know that they got a couple different weekends that they have off for various reasons. We did have a couple of rainouts last year. So far, we're good to go. Hopefully, we get to add this weekend to the list of on the good side.
Well, that's great. That's great. So, for whatever reason, I forgot to set my timer on the show. So, if it ends, I'll try to see if I can restart it. I forgot to set my time right, but I'm glad you called in. And let me make sure, see if I can change this. I mean, I can change it.
Yeah, I know the normal window is about an hour and a half, so. And I appreciate the time. I always enjoy talking with you, Jared. I do have some more studying to do because I got
yes.
other classes. I got homework for. I got to do my homework.
There you go. Well, look, thank you for coming on, man. I appreciate you. Because you're my brother in Christ. You're somebody I really think highly of. And I'm really, really glad I got you on my first show. It really means a lot.
Well, and I know you felt bad tried to get the first one up, what, week or – has that been 2 weeks already? There were some issues on the site. I do the one fan for racing with Sharon out of Chicago. You know, we went through that last year. So understood that.
Yeah.
Glad you get it up this week. And look forward to it. As always, hopefully get to see you at the track again if I get the opportunity. I know you've invited me down to Deep South, and if I get the chance and have an off weekend, I'll try and come see you at Tri-County.
Yeah, and look, I got to come see you at Jackson because I've yet to – I know how good of an announcer you are because I've been watching you for years announce on your live videos and stuff. And so from one announcer to another, I can tell you, you do a great job, and I'm excited to hear you at Jackson.
Well, I appreciate it, and that would be at Capital City Raceway, Jackson Motor Speedway. There's my
you just got the voice for it.
Get my radio voice in.
Well, thank you for coming on, and we'll see you later, my man. Thank you.
Jared, thank you, and I love you, man.
Love you. Thank you. Bye-bye. Man, that was cool. I hate it I forgot to set the duration of the show longer. But recording. Okay, so I don't know if we're still live or if it's recording. But thank you, Michael. Thank you for everybody listening. I'm sure Shane got to tune in. I don't know if my buddy Adam got to tune in or not, but if Adam's listening, shout out to Adam and TJ. They do a sports podcast. The I'm going to butcher his sports podcast. 615 to the 718. Maybe that's wrong. I hate to butcher. But Adam's got a sports podcast we do on Sunday nights. I'm the producer of. We do it on Sunday nights. So it's Adam and TJ, and they talk sports. And they'll talk a little NASCAR, too. So if you like NASCAR, Adam talks a little bit of NASCAR. But he talks mostly baseball, football, UFC, boxing, wrestling, all kinds of sports. And so TJ's pretty good at it, too. So they both tag team it. So got to give them a shout-out. And I'm going to play this song to end the night, the one I started the show with, which is Levi Mann, his song, his new song, Prayers. Shout out to Levi Mann for letting me use his song, Letters in Red, last year. And so this year, I'm going to be using his new song, Prayers. Go to Amazon Music, download it. Look up Levi Mann on Facebook and YouTube and give him a shout out. Go to Amazon Music, buy his music, buy some CDs from him. Anything to help him out. I'm sure he's got Spotify, too, but main reason I say Amazon, because he makes money off that, and Spotify don't pay artists. So, appreciate y'all. God loves you. Jesus saves. Thank you, Michael, and I'll play this song to end it out.
Prayers all on my wall, just to keep reminding me that every time I tried to fall, he never gave up on finding me. And every time that I couldn't see, he took away what was blinding me. I got prayers all on my wall to remind me, Lord, that you set me free. I got a pad and a pen again. I had to sit again and wrote all my sins. Forgive me that I'm so ashamed, and it ain't a small thing that I'm the one to blame, yeah. Step by step, I'm just trying to be the man that you made me when you saved me. But you told me, son, this ain't an easy road, but you gave me a friend when I was on my own, yeah. If I believe your words then I gotta believe you now. He said, follow me, I'll make you pictures of men. I'm here, Lord, show me how. I got prayers all on my wall, just to keep reminding me that every time I tried to fall, he never gave up on finding me. And every time that I couldn't see, he took away what was blinding me. I got prayers all on my wall to remind me, Lord, that you set me free. Here I go again, I'm trying to do this my way. Now I'm lost and I'm stranded on the highway. Been here before, just walking on the byway. Just trying to get home, so I'm looking for the driveway. But my map ain't looking towards you. It was looking right at me.